You're listening to Crypto at the Ferrum Roundtable, made for the people who want to make the most out of their crypto journey, with the mission of breaking down barriers to mass adoption of blockchain technology. This podcast is brought to you by the folks at Ferrum Network. All information in this podcast is provided for educational, informational, and entertainment purposes only, without any express or implied warranty of any kind, including warranties of accuracy, completeness, or fitness for any particular purpose. The information contained in or provided in this podcast is not intended to be and does not constitute financial advice, investment advice, trading advice, or any other advice.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Ferrum Academy. My name is Tom from the marketing team here at Ferrum Network. Please welcome Nick, our EVP of Partnerships and Growth at Ferrum Network. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Tom. How's it going?
I'm so excited. I know I always say that, but I am actually so excited because we're going to discuss one of the hottest topics in the crypto space right now. We're going to talk about DeFi 2.0. So for anyone that's watching, if you want to learn as much as you can about DeFi 2.0 and what does it mean, what changes it brings to the crypto space, just stay with us and we're going to answer all of your questions. Nick, are you excited?
Yeah, I'm super psyched because this is my first Ferrum Academy episode. I love this new initiative. Good on you, Tom. This is a great way to educate people on some exciting things going on in the space. And this is something that I'm pretty passionate about with DeFi 2.0. So let's dive in.
Yes, 100%. And Nick is actually our expert, internal expert on DeFi 2.0. So better listen, guys, just better listen. So Nick, let's just dive right into this. And first, let's just have a little overview of what's DeFi 1.0.
Yeah. So in short, I would say that, you know, DeFi 1.0 is basically the first iteration of decentralized finance, which is kind of this, it's made up of all these legacy products, right? And when I say legacy products, I mean like, you know, DEXs that don't have optimized liquidity, lending platforms that have more lenders than they do borrowers, and, you know, like underutilized insurance protocols and just kind of things that don't really have an unlimited scope of potential that we're, you know, we're trying to solve like a noble cause by decentralizing the financial sector, but it just was kind of falling short. And there was a lot of things that needed to be fixed. I had a conversation with Taha the other day, and he was saying something really funny that I think it was such a great analogy, actually. He's like, you know, DeFi in its current state is kind of like, you know, when you're at a party and you're talking with a bunch of friends and you think you find like the answer to like solving all of the world's problems. And then you wake up the next day and you realize, wow, we sounded really dumb. Like that's not sustainable. And that's kind of like DeFi in its current state. I guess that's it in kind of a high level.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And what problems we've already identified in DeFi 1.0?
Yeah. I think, you know, the main ones are ease of use. Like DeFi, like just is really difficult to use, especially if you're just kind of getting your feet wet in crypto. If you've never used any sort of, decentralized applications before, then DeFi is kind of a difficult thing for you to understand or be able to navigate. So ease of use, you know, poor UX, UI, that kind of stuff. But then also like, to me, the biggest thing is unsustainable rewards economies, like not being able to, we saw this happen with like, you know, with DEXs and whatnot, these super lucrative APRs, and people are like, oh my God, you know, four digit APRs. For a while I was like paying for my like living expenses, just like farming, you know, but, what happens is these tokens that are being rewarded to users for adding liquidity, just that's the only utility they have is to be used as a rewards token. And so eventually, you know, you look at the charts and it's just like this. because all it is sell pressure, right? People get their rewards and they cash out. And that's, I mean, that's what I was doing. And that's apparently what everyone else was doing during DeFi summer. And now you can kind of see that reflected in the charts of a lot of these, a lot of these DeFi tokens. So that's, you know, that's a big problem, being able to build a sustainable rewards economy. I would say the other thing is just kind of like limited in scope, just kind of tackling one vertical and not really being able to kind of think outside of that box of what the, you know, the kind of the product is limited, I guess, for a lack of a better way to put it. So yeah, I would say like those are kind of the biggest flaws within DeFi in its current state.
Okay, cool. And so now we have the next iteration of decentralized finance, and it's called DeFi 2.0. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, basically, you know, just kind of like the antithesis of everything else that we just discussed, right? Like easy to use products with sustainable rewards economics and unlimited potential. You know, like really, really slick UX UIs that, you know, guide you through the process. It's easy for someone to navigate, you know, smooth designs, like intuitive. That's something that we've really been lacking in DeFi. And there's some DeFi 2.0 products that are coming out that are kind of solving that with some, you know, just more intuitive products, I would say. In terms of like the ecosystem, like kind of being able to combine, you know, legacy products to create a better, more holistic product, like being able to combine staking and farming and lending and you know, some of these other DeFi protocols into one kind of platform, is something that I think a lot of projects are aiming to solve here, instead of it just being super one dimensional. Mm-hmm. And then obviously the incentive mechanics, you know, like where are these rewards being sourced from? Are they being sourced from the treasury or the marketing budget? Or is it because of like some inflationary emissions schedule? Like, is the token inflationary itself? And if so, like, is it just continuously adding to sell pressure or not? And like, I think those are the kinds of things that DeFi 2.0 is solving: ease of use, sustainable incentive structures, and like just unlimited scope of potential of what these products can be used for.
Mm-hmm. This makes a lot of sense, Nick. And so basically, you know, this seems to be the next step to bring crypto to the masses. The accessibility of the products within the crypto space, solving those issues that, you know, we've been struggling with for years now, making the whole space basically much more, like I said, accessible and easier to enter as well. But now, DeFi 2.0 is a term that is becoming a really hot topic around crypto, well, in the crypto space right now. You know, like last year we had, we had the DeFi summer, obviously, but we had a massive explosion of NFTs. Everyone started jumping on NFTs. DeFi 2.0 seems to be this kind of solution for DeFi itself, for decentralized finance. But now my question is, we have Web3, right? And everyone's trying to understand what's Web3, what was Web2, what was Web1, how did they actually miss out on those terms in the glossary, in the little dictionary? But it's a transition, right? Web3 is a transition. It's not something that, oh, it's already here. You know, Web 2.0 doesn't exist. We are in Web3 now. It's a process. Do you think that DeFi 2.0, the whole concept, is actually going to be a process that's going to take longer time, longer period of, you know, a couple years, and before it's actually going to stay with us, and there's not going to be anything regarding DeFi 1.0 in the space, or is it already here?
That's a cool question. I think it's interesting because, like, well, one, crypto moves at an incredibly rapid rate. So I don't think it'll be years before we've like defined exactly what it is, but I don't think that like we've arrived completely at it. I don't think we've like arrived at these DeFi 2.0 products that really tick all the boxes of what it really means to like, you know, to really have a good shot at actually decentralizing finance, like, or breaking down the, you know, these financial institutions. I think like that's really the goal, the ultimate goal, right? Of like DeFi 2.0 is to kind of like make other financial instruments obsolete. And we're not there yet. And there's products that are doing certain elements, you know, like they're adhering to certain, you know, prerequisites of DeFi 2.0, but not all of them, right? And so I don't think we've fully defined it. I think we're doing a good job, but I don't think we've like, we're fully there. I definitely don't think any product has achieved all of the, you know, ticked all the boxes yet. But yeah, it's a similar transition to Web3. I still think we're at the beginning stages of really understanding what Web3 is. You know, like one of the terms that I like to use is future proof. You know, like when you create something that like you really don't understand the potential of. And I think that's, you know, like that's kind of like what the internet was, right? Originally it was like, well, we didn't really understand that like we'd all be like liking each other's photos on Facebook and Instagram and stuff, or sending each other emails for that matter, even, you know, like that wasn't a thing when the World Wide Web came out. So I think, you know, Web3 is a lot of those implications as well as, and then DeFi 2.0 does too. I don't think we've really even scratched the surface. So.
Yeah, no, I agree. I just wanted to, find out your opinion on this. And, you know, I'm just thinking, because like you mentioned, it's still quite undiscovered, and projects are working on their solutions, right? They're working on creating better products, better systems to operate on as well. And Ferrum's always been a company, a project that tried to pioneer in the crypto space, to become a leader. And what I'm thinking about, what's Ferrum's take on DeFi 2.0?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a good question. I think, you know, like with anything that we've created, it's usually been born out of necessity. Our staking as a service solutions were born out of necessity because, you know, we launched at the peak of the bull market and had our ICO back in 2018, and the market tanked immediately after. And we needed to give people a reason to hold the token. So before DeFi was really even a word, we created these staking contracts that allowed people to lock up their tokens and earn APR. But there were some inherent issues with standard staking contracts, even with like tokens kind of all being released all at once, or you know, just kind of like delaying an inevitable dump, so to speak, and just the fact that you're rewarding people in a token that's basically you're just adding sell pressure to it. So not only is it like the fact that they're all releasing all at once, but you're just giving away tokens and rewards in a token that like doesn't have any deflationary elements to it or sustainable elements to it. So we're like, okay, like we need to solve that, right? So DeFi 2.0, and I guess we should say Crucible, right, is our version of DeFi 2.0. And that was born out of necessity to solve some of the inherent problems that we saw with our own DeFi 1.0 products. and so, yeah, I think we're really well positioned with Crucible to kind of tackle a lot of the problems that that we currently have. With DeFi 1.0, and I mean like in the sense of ease of use, just like a product with like so many different verticals and so much different potential, one that we can really build an ecosystem around, and one that has sustainable incentive mechanics. So I think Ferrum's take on DeFi 2.0 is Crucible.
Okay. Okay. And so for anyone that's watching us and maybe they don't know Crucible yet, right? And they just want to find out what's DeFi 2.0 and how is it going to be different. What can you tell us about probably the most revolutionary DeFi product out there, especially in DeFi 2.0, which is Crucible? What is it?
Yeah, I mean, like kind of like we mentioned earlier, there's a lot of good DeFi 2 products right now, but none of them are really ticking all the boxes. And so when we were designing Crucible, we really wanted to design it in a way that we could kind of look at that competitive analysis of DeFi 1.0 versus 2.0, and are we ticking all the boxes? And when you look at, like, you know, the ease of use of it, you know, we have a super, super intuitive interface with a super slick UX UI and very nice design and all these different prompts that guide you through it. Even for the most novice of beginner DeFi users, it'd be very difficult to get lost using the product. So, you know, there, check that box. You know, in terms of like the kind of ecosystem that the product creates, you know, we're really able to combine elements of staking, single asset staking, elements of liquidity, mining, but without the inflationary elements of those, and combining them all into one platform. Mm-hmm. And then also, like, the things that drive that are, you know, arbitrage opportunities and trading volume. So when you think of where these rewards are being sourced from, they're not being sourced from like an inflationary emissions model or the treasury or marketing budget or, you know, things like that, that are just going to add sell pressure. So in terms of the incentive structure, you know, that's another box that we can tick there. And then, you know, when you think of like the potential for innovation, I think the fact that we're going to be able to white label this and provide this to other products in the space, that's really going to open things up. The fact that, like, you know, this same sort of rewards mechanism could really be valuable in things like play to earn. You know, there's other verticals within the space that could utilize the same, this same structure and the way we've kind of combined reflection tokens with staking and liquidity mining. So yeah, I hope that answers that
question. It does. And from like, it all sounds really complicated at the end of the day, because, you know, it is a powerful piece of technology, really, that we are introducing to the public. And from the previous videos that we've also made with the alpha testers of Crucible, you know, you can see that it's actually so easy to use. Like, literally, it's so easy. It's as easy probably as just signing up to like Google, you know, with your new Gmail account. Like, it's just so easy. You're guided step by step. So there's probably the barriers that have been there in the crypto space, in a heavier kind of crypto space. Because I remember the times when I was on Binance, right? And I was investing in different tokens and coins. And I wasn't that aware of the centralized exchanges. And the first time I've experienced, you know, using, let's say, PancakeSwap, right? You know, it was quite painful. It was quite painful mm-hmm. to connect everything, to make sure that it's all, that you've set up your MetaMask properly, that it's all connected. It was just a little bit painful back in the day. And now it's all becoming much easier, much more accessible. And that's what Crucible is also introducing, is the accessibility for everyone to use a solid DeFi product and at the end of the day profit from it. So
right.
That was just my idea on this. But I know Crucible's not out yet, and you're one of the guys that know pretty much everything about Crucible. So when is it going to be out? And at what stage, what phase we're in right now with Crucible?
So at the time of recording this video, we're alpha phase three. So we've done two phases of alpha testing already. We're going to be doing this one and then one more after this. And with this phase, we're actually going to start kicking in some of the, you know, initiatives that are going to be able to encourage or incentivize trading volume, or I should say encourage trading volume, because the incentivizing of trading volume comes from actually staking the token, the Crucible token. So we're going to be encouraging trading volume through things like trading competitions and things like that. And so we'll be able to kind of like see what some of our secondary efforts are going to be able to do for the, you know, the broader Crucible initiative. So that's going to be really cool. That's where we're at right now is alpha phase three. I think we've added another 50 alpha testers. So I think we originally had like 10 to 15 or something like that. So we've got a pretty big sample size here, or a much larger sample size than we had. And then alpha phase four, we'll open it up to more people. And then I think, you know, after four alpha phases, we'll have beta, and beta is going to be a much larger sample size of people. Pretty much anyone that wants to get in should be able to get in, I would think, as long as we're keeping the TVL in line with the trading volume. That's really the main thing. As long as the trading volume and the amount locked in the protocols are about even, then we can just keep letting people in. And so, yeah, that's where we're at. It should be opening any second now. I think the devs were just pushing some final updates to the UX, and then we're going to launch alpha phase three. So looking forward.
So excited about that. I'm looking forward to that, honestly. And for anyone that's watching us and is interested in also testing, if you're watching it before Crucible is actually fully live and it's still in a testing phase, come and join us on Discord. Link is in the description. And sign up to become a testing candidate for Crucible Beta. 100% worth it. And also I'm going to drop a link below to the video interview with alpha testers, so you can see what kind of progress we've made since then, what we've improved, what we've changed, and what's the take of basically just our community members that had a chance to test Crucible for themselves. Nick, thank you so much for this extremely valuable video on DeFi 2.0, on Crucible, on the problems of DeFi 1.0 and how the space is actually changing and it's progressing and evolving. Do you have any final thoughts?
No, I mean, I think the only thing that I'll say is, like, if you're still a little bit confused on what Crucible is, I would watch some of the other Crucible videos that we've made, because we dive a bit deeper into, like, you know, where the rewards are sourced from and kind of just how the whole back end works. And so I would encourage anyone watching this that hasn't watched the previous ones to watch those to get a better idea of, like, what Crucible really is, because this video, we kind of just dove more into, like, you know, 1.0 versus 2.0 and the problems that Crucible's solving, but not really how, you know, Crucible works, I should say. So, like, yeah, I would just say go back into some of the other YouTube videos and check those out.
And they all going to be in the description with the links as well. Nick, nice. Thank you so much for this. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Tom.
Ferrum Network is a pioneer in ushering in the era of interoperability 2.0. Ferrum Network's mainnet nodes and related infrastructure will bring value, data, and functional interoperability to every chain in the industry. Ferrum also specializes as a multi-chain blockchain as a service DeFi company, adding deflationary mechanisms, token utility, and advisory services to projects across the crypto space.